Black Jesus is much sexier than white Jesus.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
If you're going to do drugs tonight, remember to buddy up and look after one another. Let me get you some condoms.
If you think it's hot now, just wait. Across the globe, a pattern is emerging. Periods of extreme heat are on the rise. During these heat waves, high atmospheric pressure pushes air down, sometimes making it difficult for other weather systems to move in and cool the area. This phenomenon allows sweltering heat to linger for days or even weeks. In the U.S., these periods are expected to increase across hundreds of cities, raising what's called the heat index. The heat index is a measurement of the combined effects of temperature and humidity, meaning on humid days, a temperature of 91 degrees Fahrenheit may feel more like 103.
This is fine.
It's estimated the average number of days per year with a heat index above 100 degrees Fahrenheit will more than double by mid-century, and the number of days per year above 105 degrees will quadruple. Extreme heat is just one sign of global warming.
An African-American transgender woman from Pahokee has created a lot of concerns in South Florida's transgender community. WPTV News Channel 5's Arthur Mondale explains tonight why investigators still work on a motive in this case. Activists are putting the spotlight on what has become a larger issue nationwide.
The mother of B-Love Slater didn't want to go on camera and friends fear retribution, but advocates are not afraid to speak out, telling me they're fueled by the underreported level of violence in the transgender community.
It's mind-boggling.
Brutal.
That's the response from trans community activists describing the death of 23-year-old B. Love Slater of Pahokee. On September 4th, Hendry County Sheriff's deputies found Slater's body in a burned vehicle. This is the 18th murder in the trans community nationwide this year. 17 of the women killed are disproportionately Black. While the motive remains unknown, activists say the crime underlines the hard intersections of race and identity in South Florida.
Supposedly one of the most progressive on LGBT stuff, or not. And it's going to take a lot more to get us to a point where trans women of color or any person that's different feel safe to walk outside their door, to go out to a bar, or to do their job.
I think that the transgender community, especially transgender people of color, are at the bottom right now in our society, unfortunately.
Both Orion and Reardon also say the latest murder is a sign of a much larger cultural issue.
I think that the community is under attack on a national level.
But advocates hope the attention gives light to a problem.
Hopefully a resolution to the situation by showing people that it's an issue and people here exist, and we need to treat everyone with respect and love and equality.
The Hendry County Sheriff's Office is still investigating. In Pahokee, Arthur Mondale, WPTV News Channel 5.
All right. Hey, y'all. It is Phoenix Kalita in the Wine Cellar with some international news. I feel like y'all have been missing it. I've been a little bit behind. I'm trying to catch up on some stuff and some things, a thing or two or three. So, you know, this is, of course, a Wine Cellar podcast episode. So all of the typical trigger warnings apply, as it tends to go, because we talk about real shit up in here, right? There is no Russiagate news. This is actual things that are happening around the fucking world. So, let us get into it. Well, I guess why not? Let's start with Indonesia. I've been covering for a while stories of forest fires, right? On the international, we talked about Brazil is burning, right? The Amazon rainforest is on fire. We talked about fires throughout Southern California. And then recently, we talked about fires throughout parts of Africa. Well, oh, and we also talked about the Arctic being on fire. Turns out, Indonesia's also on fire. Awesome. The South Pacific is on fire. So, this is coming off CNN.com. Malaysian authorities distributed 500,000 face masks to residents on Tuesday after large-scale forest fires in Indonesia spread smoke and thick smog to neighboring countries. Intense forest fires have raged across Indonesian regions of Sumatra and Kalimantan in recent weeks. More than 930,000, you know what? I'm just going to say the American number because I know y'all don't know this. 2.3 million acres of land have been burned. That's so much land. Hundreds of residents have evacuated, and more than 9,000 personnel have been deployed to battle the flames, according to CNN Indonesia. Nearby Singapore and Malaysia have both choked in a dense haze all week, with air quality reaching unhealthy levels. The fires were allegedly caused by farmers using slash-and-burn techniques to clear the ecologically rich land, the same practice that led to uncontrollable fires in the Brazilian Amazon this summer. Also, if you recall, as we were talking about the fires in Africa, that's also what caused them. It's almost like capitalism isn't fucking sustainable or something. On Tuesday, Malaysia's National Disaster Management Agency distributed 500,000 face masks to the Sarawak state, which saw a spike in the air pollution index, the API, according to the state media agency Bernama. 409 schools in the state closed before reopening. API measures a variety of pollutants to gauge air quality, which is typically defined by the concentration of a fine particulate matter, or PM25, per cubic meter. The microscopic particles are considered particularly harmful because they're small enough to lodge deep in the lungs and can pass into other organs or the bloodstream. In the last 24 hours, 11 of Malaysia's 16 states and territories have recorded API levels in the unhealthy range of 101 to 200. Rompin District in Pahang, totally probably not saying that right, recorded the highest level, tipping into very unhealthy at a peak of 232. In Singapore, the API hit a peak of 151 on Tuesday, with levels largely in the unhealthy range all day. To put that in perspective, on Wednesday, the API was a healthy 7 in New York City and 24 in London. Even Beijing, a city notorious for its pollution, measured good at a level of 50. All right, well, the whole fucking planet's on fire, and we're not doing anything about it. Awesome. We're all gonna die. We're all gonna die. It's great. So on that fun note, I guess we can skip over to Germany. Bless the Germans for trying. Lamborghini has new tech that could revolutionize electric supercars. Lamborghini's newest supercar, a $2 million hybrid, will be the fastest and most powerful Lamborghini ever made, but it also represents a small step towards what Lamborghini hopes will be the future of electric cars, or at least electric supercars. Dude, everything's on fire, but I mean, I guess. It's last-ditch effort, electric cars? I don't know. Who wrote this article? Peter Valdez Dapena said, I spent a few minutes talking with Maurizio Reggiani, Lamborghini's chief technical officer, as we stood next to the car. He's had strong feelings about hybrid and electric supercars. He's never been a fan of battery power in supercars, and his stance is that batteries are just too big and heavy. Weight is the enemy of performance, and if you ever sat inside a supercar, you know there's not a lot of room to spare. Nobody needs these fucking cars, people. But over the past few years, Reggiani has started talking about supercapacitors. Yeah, okay. Capacitors. That's why this has a CN, I guess, instead of a battery pack. It's located behind the seats in front of the engine. It stores more power using a different method from batteries. Okay. So apparently, CN, I'm probably saying that wrong, means lightning bolt in the traditional dialect of Lamborghini's home in Italy. They're ideal for supercars because they're light, one-third of the weight per unit of energy, and can transfer electricity quickly without losing energy and heat. All right. So it isn't a full hybrid like the Toyota Prius. It's a mild hybrid, as if anything Lamborghini makes can ever be called mild. Ha ha ha. I didn't write that fucking sentence. That was in this article. It can't drive even a short way on electrical power alone. The V12 engine does the vast majority of the work, with the electric motor helping. It can go from 0 to more than 60 miles an hour in under 3 seconds, and has a top speed of more than 217 miles per hour. The electric motor adds 10% to the speed. Who the fuck needs to go 217 miles an hour? Who the fuck? Anyways, so it's kind of a hybrid. And I, you know, so hopefully as it tends to trickle down with the bullshit, maybe if Lamborghini's kind of making hybrids, other companies will make actual hybrids and maybe we can try to do something before the planet is completely on fire. I don't know. I have my fucking doubts. I have all the fucking doubts. Ugh. But of course, you know, I think this also just speaks to capitalism in general, right? Like, they're actually doing something that's kind of a little bit healthier for the environment, for the planet, by making a kind of hybrid car, but they're only doing it because it makes the car go faster, right? It's still, like, that fucking, like, toxic masculinity, you know, rich show-off shit. They're only doing it because it makes a better performance for the car, and the fact that it's slightly more environmentally healthy isn't, you know, a nice bonus, I guess, for those of us who care about that sort of thing. But we'll see. Maybe this will turn into trickle-down environmentalism. It can't be any worse than trickle-down capitalism, right? Everything's on fucking fire. Okay. What else have I got here? Oh, Benjamin Netanyahu. That will never not be funny to me. If folks don't know, there is a alleged political commentator named Dan Bedondi, who is from the East Coast, I think somewhere like Boston area, and he doesn't know how to say Benjamin Netanyahu's name, and he says always says Benjamin Netanyahu, and it's kind of funny to me. So anyways, Netanyahu is being Netanyahu. The fuck, right? Benjamin Netanyahu has been rushed off stage during a rocket siren hours after announcing plans to annex some settlements in the West Bank if he wins re-election. The prime minister was on stage in an event for his party supporters in Israel's southern city of Ashdodwin as the siren blared. He was escorted off stage by his security team to an air raid shelter while urging his supporters to remain calm. Ain't that like the fucking... That's the fucking visual, right? They're telling the civilians to stay calm while they have their, you know, government-appointed security forces in an air raid shelter to hide in, and telling everyone else to fucking stay calm. Nigga, they're not the ones who are gonna fucking die. Mr. Netanyahu returned minutes later to continue his speech, which comes ahead of next week's election, Israel's second this year. Israel's military confirmed it had intercepted two rockets launched from the Gaza Strip. I mean... I guess. Last time they said that they intercepted a rocket from the Gaza Strip, it turned out, or no, a missile, I think. It was a missile that just spontaneously blew up because of, like, a technical error, and then they blamed it on Gaza, but all right. No group has claimed responsibility for the rocket launches. Earlier, Netanyahu announced plans to annex some Jewish settlements onto the West Bank if he is reelected. Today, I announced my intention after the establishment of a new government to apply Israeli sovereignty to the Jordan Valley and northern Dead Sea, calling the region East Israel's eastern border. And, you know, it's funny because every time this guy gets up on, like, the fucking national stage, like, you know, a global stage, an international stage, he's always like, oh, yeah, two-state solution. I would love to work with them. And then this is what he's actually fucking running on. He has no fucking intention of creating a two-state solution. He wants to kill every fucking Palestinian on the planet and completely take over the land. It's fucking genocide. I don't care what anyone says. All right, so that happened. Meanwhile, in Iran, I think, oh, Dubai. All right, okay. So a Dubai woman was, let me get this fucking story together. All right. An Iranian woman killed herself after being arrested for sneaking into a stadium to watch a soccer game in Dubai. Uh-huh. So she snuck into the stadium dressed as a man. Wow. The semi-official Shafakna news agency said that the woman, who was dubbed Blue Girl online for her favorite team's Esteghlal, I can't say any of these names, I'm sorry, y'all, died at a hospital on Monday after her self-immolation outside of a court where she feared being jailed. Wow. Also, there's a lot of ways to die. Self-immolation is, gotta be one of the worst. It's gotta fucking be. Iranian women have been banned from stadiums where men's teams are playing since after the 1979 Islamic Revolution, though foreign women have been allowed limited access. What happened to Sahar Kodayari is heartbreaking. And I know William's not here, but if he was, he would notice that we went 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs before saying her name. Up until this time, she's just an Iranian woman and Blue Girl. You know. So her actual name is Sahar Kodayari, and it is heartbreaking, said Philip Luther, Amnesty International's Middle East Research and Advocacy Director, he said in a statement. Oh, and Kodayari was about 30 years old. Her only crime was being a woman in a country where women face discrimination that is entrenched in law and plays out in the most horrific way imaginable in every area of their lives, even sports, said Luther. Iran rejects Western criticisms of its human rights record as politically motivated and based on a lack of understanding of its Islamic laws. Soccer's governing body, FIFA, which has been pressuring Iran over the ban, regretted the tragedy of Cody Yari's death. No, you fucking really didn't, because if you regretted it that much, you would stop doing shit in Iran. Like, you know, boycott shit, like, if you honestly care. This is a statement from FIFA itself. FIFA convey our condolences to the family and friends of Sahar and reiterate our calls on the Iranian authorities to ensure freedom and safety of any woman engaged in this legitimate fight to end the stadium ban for women in Iran. I skipped a sentence there. The Italian club Roma spoke up in solidarity with Cody Yari. Hashtag AS Roma is yellow and red, but today our hearts bleed blue for Sahar Cody Yari. The beautiful game is meant to unite us, not divide us. Now is the time for everyone in Iran to be allowed to enjoy football matches together. RIP hashtag blue girl. After FIFA asked for a timeline, an Iranian sports ministry official said in August that women's fans could be allowed to attend men's soccer World Cup's World Cup qualifying matches in October. Some called for FIFA to take a tougher line. At FIFA.com, let's see if you have the guts just for once to stand against women's rights violations in Iran, wrote one person with a Twitter handle at Iran Lioness. Yeah, that's really fucking unfortunate. Like, yeah. And I just, like, I also kind of want to know, like, who fucking snitched? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, she went to a fucking soccer game. Let a nigga live. I just want to know who snitched or how they found out about it. So, if you're trending, it was trending on Tuesday, I want to say. So, yeah, if you want to know more about that case, hashtag blue girls where to go. In the meantime, I'm about to get out of here because I've been on for almost 15 minutes and international news is supposed to be short. So let me get the fuck up out of here. Please try to stay safe as you possibly can, no matter where you are. Do something nice for yourself. Do something nice for someone else. And as always, if you want to support the Wine Cellar, you can hit us up on paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam or patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. And don't forget, if you do hit up the PayPal instead of the Patreon, you are still entitled to early access for Patreon-only subscribers material. So if you do hit up the PayPal, come find me on Twitter or on Facebook. You can always message the Reading in the Shade page, the White on White Crime page, or the Social Dissonance page. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at Uppity Negress with 2 P's, 2 T's, and 2 S's. And you can just DM me and let me know. Say, hey, I hit up your PayPal. Give me your fucking early access for Patreon only. And I will get you those fucking links. All right. Have a good fucking day, people.